All right, morning everybody. Okay, so it's pretty obvious God is talking already this morning. The sermon that I'm going to be preaching on today is on the bread of life, Jesus being the bread of life. And I said to Craig last night, I said to him, I really don't feel like preaching tomorrow. It's been a rough week, I'm tired. And this morning when I woke up, there was a whole bunch of things. The kids were difficult. There was a bit of a personal attack on myself. And I thought, man, how am I going to do this? And I said to God, you know what? Just let your word be spoken. And from the prayer meeting where Ifanya Chukwu shared the word from Romans, which is actually in my sermon as well, to the worship, you're going to see that God is talking to us today. So I'm usually not very long, so please just listen and take in the word. So I'm going to read from John 6, verse 22. It is a long piece of scripture, and I am going to read most of it. There's a lot of repetition, so don't worry. I am going to simplify, but just listen and ask the Holy Spirit to speak to you as it's being read. So the scripture basically starts off, remember Jesus had done the miracle of the fish and loaves. So basically what had happened is Jesus had left that area. Some people saw that he wasn't there, so they went looking for him. So we're going to start from verse 25. When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me, not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him God the Father has set his seal." Then they said to him, "What must we do to be doing the works of God?" Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him who he has sent." So they said to him, "Then what sign do you do that we may see and believe you? What work do you perform?" "Our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." They said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. But I say to you that you have seen me and yet do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never cast out. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day." So the Jews grumbled about him because he said, "I am the bread that came down from heaven." They said, "Is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How does he now say, 'I have come down from heaven'?" Jesus answered them, "Do not grumble amongst yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they will all be taught by God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except he who is from God. He has seen the Father. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh." Then the Jews disputed amongst themselves, saying, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" So Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever feeds on me, he will also live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not like the bread the fathers ate and died. Whoever feeds on this bread will live forever. Ooh, that's a mouthful. Okay, so the teaching starts with Jesus proclaiming, I am. So we see that this is one of the first teachings. Jesus makes seven of these where he basically starts with I am. And as we know, I am means Yahweh in Hebrew, and that means God. So he is basically telling them exactly who he is. He is from heaven. He is from God. He is the Savior of the world. So I just quickly want to mention the other I am. So it's the I am the bread of the life. I am the light of the world. I am the door of the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And I am the true vine. So, as I said to you guys, the scripture has so much repetition in it. You know, we see Jesus saying the same thing over and over again. And I kind of have this picture of a parent that tells their child the same thing over and over again. It's to massage it into their hearts, right? To make sure that they heard it, they understood it, and that they could follow it, right? So let's look at bread, because this is kind of a central theme. Now, bread, we know in this scripture, was meant as a metaphor, right? The importance of bread, it was part of the main meal. It was something that everybody had access to in that time. It was a sign of fellowship. So if you got together, you broke bread, you were in community. So sharing in each other's lives. But bread was also for nourishment, right? You ate because you're hungry and you filled your body. So Jesus starts with this teaching by saying, you know, I can see why people are coming to me. I filled their physical hunger. And he's saying to them, but spiritually, you need to be filled as well. So Jesus was trying to show them that they need spiritual food. In verse 31, he talks about the manna from heaven that they ate that didn't sustain them. And he basically says to them, that bread that physically fed the Israelites in any way came from heaven. It wasn't just a physical bread. It was a spiritual bread too. So he's kind of trying to show them in a way that they understand. So you can see that they sort of get it. They say, okay, great, give me more of this bread. But they're still not realizing what Jesus is saying. He's saying, I am the bread of life. He's saying, I am the source of your spiritual satisfaction. I am the one you should be filling yourselves with, me, not physical bread. So the scripture shows us that this bread, there was divine provision of this bread, there was divine purpose, and there was a divine plan. So if we look at the divine provision of this bread, you know, if you look through the scriptures, it starts with the bread from heaven, and it switches to I am the living bread from heaven. So let's look just through the scriptures here. Verse 32, Jesus says, truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. Verse 33, the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Verse 38, for I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. Verse 50, Jesus says, this is the bread that comes down from heaven so that one may eat of it and not die. Verse 58, this is the bread that came down from heaven, not like the bread the fathers ate and died. So he's constantly telling them, guys, look, this is me. This is who I am. I'm from God. I am God. So the scripture shows us that Jesus was pre-existing. He wasn't created. You know, we see in John 1:1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. John 1 verse 14 says, and the Word became flesh, dwelt amongst us, and we have seen his glory. Glory is only the Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John 13:3, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come from God, was going back to God. So Jesus is repeatedly stating in Scripture, he was sent by God, he's returning to God. So that is the divine provision of the bread of life. The divine purpose of this bread, we look again in verse 33, comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. So God didn't send his son hoping all would work out. He knew what was going to happen. He knew that it was going to work out. He knew that there would be eternal life, that people would turn to him and would return one day with him. Isn't that amazing that he didn't just make up a plan? He knew it was going to work. Verse 44 says, "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day." Jesus says it 3 or 4 times, "I will raise him up on the last day." We have that reassurance. We have that hope. The divine plan that God had. He sent his son. God draws people to Jesus. Jesus raises them up and keeps them close and eventually takes them into eternity. So there's a divine plan. It's a plan that's worked out to completion. Jesus, the Bible says that those that were given to Jesus as a gift from the Father will not be snatched away. It says that in verse 37, "Whoever comes to me, I will never cast out." Verse 39 says, "And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me." So once we belong to God, we're not going anywhere. John 14 verse 20 says, "In that day you will know that I'm in my Father, and you in me, and I in you." So we are one spirit with God when we accept Jesus as our Savior. So isn't this amazing reassurance in a time when really nothing is guaranteed? We have this guarantee that we will be with Jesus, and we are with him right now. He's living within us. We don't have to wait until eternity. So I love the preach that we listen to in the Connect groups. And if any of you weren't there, the NCMI app has the sermons. And I just want to quickly quote, James Lusk was the preacher. And he had made such a profound statement. He basically asked the question, do you know how the gospel works? Not what the gospel is, but how does it work? And the way he described it just made that hope stir in my heart again. So he basically said the gospel of grace is heard. It's accepted and understood. Some may not, but for those who do accept and understand, grace, which means that we are sinful, but we have an intercessor for us to the living God, stirs a hope in our hearts. Hope then begets a faith in God, leading to a life dedicated to the gospel, making sure others can hear it too. Isn't that amazing? Just how does it work? How does it work? It's about the Spirit that gets into our hearts. The other thing that the scripture made me quite excited about is, you know, we see a lot of this about predestination. So predestination basically just means something is marked out or appointed or determined to happen before it actually happens. So in this piece of scripture, it's made so clear that some people are predestined by God to believe the gospel and be saved. So it's a bit of a tough one too, because, you know, it means that not everybody will be saved. The Bible is very clear. God selects who is saved, who hears the gospel, who believes, who is saved. That's why when we hear about scriptures saying we are a chosen people, it's not just a saying. God chose us, which means he already decided before you decided to follow him that you were his. Our salvation is not us choosing him, it's him choosing us. So those of us who believe and are saved, we are the gifts given to Jesus by the Father because he wants to honor the Son. We don't get saved because of what we do. We get saved because of who Jesus is and who he is to the Father. Verse 37, let's look at that. It says, "All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never cast out." Verse 39, "And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me." Verse 44, "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him." Verse 45, "It is written in the prophets, and they will be taught by God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me." So those of us who believe in Jesus, get saved, it comes because of a knowledge from God, not because of our flesh. John MacArthur makes it pretty clear. He says, the Father had a plan, the Son made the plan possible, the Holy Spirit makes the plan work, the Father elects us, the Son justifies us, and the Spirit sanctifies us. Verse 44, Jesus says, no one can come to me, which means we cannot do it unless God draws us. And this is not like drawing flies with honey. It's not an enticement. The Holy Spirit compels us to him for Christ's sake. It's only God that can remove the blinders off our eyes and remove the wax from our ears so we can hear and understand God's word. We know salvation is a gift, but faith is also a gift, something we are given. We cannot comprehend the gospel without the Spirit. Corinthians 4, verse 4 to 6. In their case, the God of this world, talking about Satan, has blinded the minds of unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel, of the glory of Jesus, who is the image of God. For what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord. For God, who said, let light shine out of the darkness, has shone in our hearts to give the light of knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. We see so many of the Jews in this piece of scripture heard what Jesus said. They even understood the concept of eternal life. But because they did not have the knowledge from God, from the Holy Spirit, they did not accept it. Romans 8, verse 31. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? If we read a little bit further in Romans 8:33, who shall bring charges against God's elect? Talking about us. The scripture goes on to say that nothing will separate us from the love of God. It was God's choice to set his love on us and establish a relationship. So he has it. He has us. Romans 3, verse 1 to 19 is a very long scripture, but I'm just going to do the basics of it. It basically says we cannot be saved by law, so just doing good deeds. No one is righteous. Doesn't matter what your lineage is. Doesn't matter what your achievements are. Salvation can only come through God. The Bible says those who will be saved, their names are written in the book of life forever. Before we were even born, God already knew that we would belong to him. Isn't that amazing? I mean, it's not something our human brain can comprehend. So yes, we do have free will, but we have free will whether we sin or not. We have no say in who God decides to claim as his own. So I want to encourage you, this is a good thing that we are selected, that we are the chosen, that, you know, we belong to God. And while we could worry about, well, what about the people that don't? What about, is that person meant to be saved? That is not for us to decide. We have the living hope within us. We have God's word in us. And our responsibility is to share it, and God decides who belongs to him. So while our salvation is predestined, we have responsibilities. If we look at John 6, verse 35, Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger. So we are called to draw near to Jesus. We are called to experience and explore and just fill our being with it. We have access to it. We can eat as much as we want. Verse 40 says, for this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life. So we have to look at the Son. We have to keep him in our view. We have to focus on him. We have to keep our mind and our thoughts on him. Verse 51. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. If anyone eats, he will live forever. So we need to take the bread of life in. We need to, it's not just information, we have to fill our spiritual bodies with it. We have to nourish, we have to saturate ourselves with it. And remember, eating is very personal. You can't eat by proxy. Somebody else has can't eat for you. So you have to put the bread in your own mouth. You have to feed your spiritual body. We know that eating is transformational. If you don't eat, you die. It's the same. If you don't feed your spiritual body, you will die spiritually. Eating is a response to hunger. And if we look at it in the spiritual term, it is the aching heart that is empty, and it's the work of the Holy Spirit that brings us back to God. Now, we also see that we are called to believe. And we know that we're not just called to believe in Jesus as the Son of God. We are called to believe in his sacrificial death. Jesus talks in verse 51, "And the bread that I will give you for the life of the world is my flesh." Verse 54, he talks and says, "Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life." Now, obviously, this is a metaphor. We are not called to eat flesh and drink blood. Basically, Jesus is saying, my body was broken for you. My blood was shed to cleanse you. So he's telling us we need to be believers that he died on the cross. He paid the price. So in conclusion, the bread of life came down from heaven for you and me. Have you tasted it? Has it filled your spiritual body? Do we continue to partake of it and let it sustain us? If the answer is no, don't wait. Jesus is standing before us today and wants you to recognize him as your Savior.